I'm Esperanza Phoenix, and you're listening to Unpacking Life's Crazy. In this podcast, I share a lifetime of unusual experiences, unfortunate events, and frank conversations with others like myself who use humor to cope with the physical disabilities, mental health conditions, and unique life circumstances which set us apart from societal norms. In this podcast, we discuss controversial and adult topics. From sleep hygiene, fasting, and stories of raising kids in Costa Rica to interviews with disabled comedians or transgender youth. Life can be a crazy journey. Let's unpack it together. Welcome to episode 23 of Unpacking Life's Crazy. I'm Esperanza Phoenix, and as promised in my last episode, I have an interview with my daughter, Kira, who happens to be transgender. She is joining us again because an interview with Kira was my very first podcast for Unpacking Life's Crazy. So it's been almost a year. And I am very excited because we're also going to be joined by Kaina, Kira's girlfriend. So my daughter has a girlfriend. She's happier with herself and, you know, she's found someone. Anyways, I couldn't be more proud. But before I get all emotional, let's meet these young ladies, shall we? Welcome, Kaina and Kira. So, Kira, say hi.
Hi.
So, hi. Kira is my daughter, and this is Kaina, my daughter's girlfriend. Thank you so much for agreeing to have this conversation for public consumption, especially you, Kaina, because I'm not your mama. Officially, so it's probably a little less comfort zone for you. So I really appreciate it. As I mentioned in my intro, Kira was interviewed for my very first podcast episode, and so we are catching up, and it's been almost a year. And first of all, how are you doing?
Tired. very tired. I'm doing okay, though.
There wasn't a video of the first episode, so those who listened didn't know what you looked like then, and I'm proud of you for coming on and letting people see you, and your progress has come along a lot, and you're beautiful. And
Thank you.
And I don't know for sure, but looks like you might have put on a little bit of weight in your face, which is good.
I have, actually.
Yay! Yeah,
I've gained, like, I don't know, 25 pounds.
Wow, that's wonderful. Wonderful. And Kaina, thank you for feeding her and making her eat.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad to.
Yeah, Kira has been very, very thin for a very long time, hasn't put on much weight. And so at times that was a bit concerning because you were not an appropriate weight for your height. And I remember at one point, you had a pair of pants that basically you were able to wear the same pair of pants for like 5 or 6 years. I mean, granted, they were those pants that had the little expanders and the waistband thing. Mm-hmm. So they did give a few inches, but eventually they just became high waters. You never really outgrew them because you got bigger around. So I'm glad to see that you're eating better and you seem to be filling out a little more, and that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. So how do you feel about your progress so far in your transition? What do you feel has changed over the last year in that regard?
I think mainly what's changed is my location. I've moved since then, and a lot has changed with that. I now have a girlfriend.
Big changes.
That's given me a different perspective on stuff. Mm-hmm. I think my perspective has changed a lot.
Okay.
And just mentally, I think I've changed a lot, but physically not so much.
Well, yeah, I see a lot of physical changes. You may not notice them as well because they're gradual. But you definitely have more breast development.
Yes, that's something that has actually changed, yeah.
Your hair is way longer, and your face is way way rounder.
Okay.
Like softer features.
Okay.
Now that is a result of the estrogen, is that right?
Yeah, estrogen. I also take progesterone, but that wouldn't really affect like any fat distribution, I don't believe.
So the estrogen then causes more, I think, more fat under the skin, like
something like that. Yeah, it causes your body to redistribute your fat into different areas that align more with like a female build.
Okay, so the hips and the breasts and all of that, also the skin is part of that as well.
Yeah.
Right. And when, before, a little bit for the listeners, in your moving process, you first went to pick up Kana, right, in Massachusetts, and then you drove back here. So I got a chance to meet Kana, and that was lovely. I'm glad I got that opportunity before my child moved away with a perfect stranger. but before you left, I took some photos, and I shared them. And your sister commented that when she saw the photos, she forgot for a moment that you hadn't gotten the facial feminization surgery.
Really?
Yeah. So she really noticed huge difference.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're seeing it, even if it's gradual and you don't feel or see as much change. Yeah. Yeah. So before I go more on to that topic, I wanted you to talk about how you two met.
Oh, we actually met on Discord, which if anyone isn't super familiar with that, it's kind of like Skype, but way better.
It's better.
It's better Skype. Yeah.
I'll have to look into Discord for future interviews, because what the audience didn't see was a whole lot of craziness trying to figure out the mic setup.
Yeah. but yeah. Technically speaking, I met her through my friend Zelda, which you know.
Yes.
Musician,
right?
Yes. Uh-huh. I met Audie through Zelda, and I met Kana through Audie.
And Audie is a mutual friend.
And yeah. So it kind of gone around in circles, but that's basically how we met. And we just sort of got along and Kana started messaging me privately,
and one thing led to another. And one thing led to another.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, because of the pandemic and because of the long distance, you two hadn't actually met in person until a visit last Christmas.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of drama involving that visit. I think I mentioned in one of my podcasts, if somebody's a regular listener, that there was some concern about the visit, and not because I had any problem with you visiting, but because we were in the middle of a pandemic, and I was afraid about you traveling on a plane and exposure to COVID, and the fact that my boyfriend is high risk. So there was this whole thing, and I know it was really upsetting because I was afraid to let you fly, and so we did come to a way for you to go, but it involved Kira having to be quarantined in a hotel room until she got a negative COVID test when she returned, and I know that wasn't a pleasant experience for you, and I'm sorry, but I'm glad we were able to work it out, and you were able to do what you needed to, and I was a little less terrified, and everything was fine, and clearly you couldn't have really made a decision like this big move without having at least spent some actual in-person physical time together.
Of course, yeah.
Right. So how long would you say that you've officially been in a relationship?
Well, it was such a gradual increase that we kind of had to go back through all of our messages to decide like an actual beginning point of our relationship. And I think we agreed upon October 30th.
I think so.
Yeah. It's like when it became official.
Oh, so almost Halloween, but not?
Yes. Yeah, basically.
Just call your anniversary Halloween. It's more fun.
I think that's the day we officially called ourselves like a couple.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a gradual thing, but you're obviously very comfortable with mm-hmm. each other. And do you want to explain a little bit how your relationship was going while it was on all online? Because as somebody who's, I mean, I'm involved in online and I'm really familiar with computers and stuff, but, you know, I'm old school relationship, and you guys were maintaining a relationship where you were together, but through the computer, and there was video and audio, and it was really interesting, but unusual. You want to explain that?
Well, yeah, we basically just lived together, but through the computer. Like whenever we weren't at work and we were together, we just had the camera on and we had the audio going, and so we could hear each other, whatever we do, and just see each other. Mm-hmm. And we'd even, you know, just sleep in bed together, basically.
Yeah.
And so,
but from a very long distance.
Yeah, exactly. We made
yeah.
do.
Yeah. I'm used to online relationships because that's really all I've done. None of them obviously worked out so far. And yeah, it's basically like living together or being together without the physicality.
Yeah.
But you can still talk and see each other in real time and share things. And
but if you run out of toilet paper, it's not very useful.
No.
No.
You can't be like, hey!
No. Nope.
You just have to yell for somebody else.
Yeah, exactly.
Bathroom strandings are a problem.
Call an Uber and have them deliver toilet paper.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was a little bit odd on this end, because when I would knock on Kira's door to come in, sometimes it would be just a minute to make sure that the screen wasn't on, showing you like inappropriately dressed so that you wouldn't be embarrassed. And I think one time I may have walked in when you weren't, but I didn't notice. Later, she said, Kara said something about it. I was like, I didn't see anything. I don't know what it was. Might have been seen, but I wasn't looking. So I like to let you people keep your privacy. I don't want to be too pushy about stuff, but I also
always appreciate it.
Like to know what's going on. So one of the things that went wrong in the past year is we discussed a little bit in our first podcast how your hair removal had to stop because of the COVID shutdown, and they weren't accepting appointments mm-hmm. for a while. And so slowed down some of the process with surgeries and stuff, or was it just the process of it that slowed down the surgery stuff?
They stopped scheduling the surgeries for people, and any surgeries that were scheduled were postponed. So my chances of getting scheduled were non-existent, basically.
Then you were able to schedule your facial feminization surgery, but
surprisingly,
that was in March. Mm-hmm. And so you made the plans with your work and everything mm-hmm. and all of that. And I dropped you off for the surgery. And then what happened?
Well, my heart rate was too high and they couldn't go through with the surgery. Mm-hmm.
So do you want to explain how far you got before that happened? I mean, what was going on there?
Well, they had me already, and I was basically on the operating table when they decided to call it off.
Mm-hmm, because they just couldn't get your heart rate under control.
Yeah.
Right.
They wanted to do all kinds of tests to make sure it wasn't a heart problem or anything like that, which luckily it wasn't, but it's still an extreme disappointment.
Yeah. Well, on my end, I dropped you off around 6:30 in the morning, expecting you to go in for a 5-hour surgery. And because of my insomnia and sleep problems, I needed to catch up on sleep. So I came home assuming that, okay, you're in there for 5 hours and we'll see what happens. And I didn't realize when I put on my sleep program that it shut off all alerts. So I rested, and around 10:30, I open up my phone and I've got this text saying that you're in recovery, and there's like a whole bunch of texts. So I'm like reading through them, trying to figure out what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then realized that I had a message from the doctor saying that they had taken you out of surgery because of this high heart rate thing. And so then I started frantically trying to call you and contact you, but I guess they had taken your phone. Luckily I had, Kana. So I messaged mm-hmm. Kana to see what was, she had heard from you, which she hadn't at first. And then I finally just gave up and said, well, I'm not hearing from you. I'm going to the hospital. Mm-hmm. And Kana contacted me when I was at the gas station, and let me know that she had heard from you. And then, I spent the rest of the afternoon in the recovery area, just waiting for all those tests and tests yeah. and tests. And
yeah,
I know it was just so frustrating and so disappointing for you. And you just, you were so looking forward to it. And then there was, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of felt robbed.
Right. And I was especially worried about you because it triggered some unhealthy behaviors. Would you like to talk a little bit about that, maybe?
Sure. I mean, I guess kind of disclaimer, it's dark topic. But yeah, I kind of relapsed and started cutting again. Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't understand cutting, could you explain why people do it or what the feeling is, maybe? Or some people just don't understand at all that behavior or why or anything about it.
I've done it in the past for various reasons. As a punishment to myself out of just anger, and sometimes to just feel something. But I think the majority of the time it's when I don't know what else to do. Like when I'm just hurting and I can't make it stop and I just can't escape, and that's all I can do.
So it's an act of desperation?
Yeah. It's like one of the only things I have control over.
So desperation, a feeling to control something.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically.
Mm-hmm. And are you learning other outlets so that you have less of an urge to do that? Or are you just feeling more comforted now that you have Kana there?
Honestly, just more comforted because I have Kana here. Like, I know I can never do that around her because it would hurt more than it would hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
Hurt her.
Yeah, you haven't been.
No.
At all.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, well, that, and she has access to visually see your body more than I did, so it's
yeah.
harder for you to hide
yeah.
it. I know that you've tried to hide it from me, and you knew that it was always upsetting when I noticed, because I didn't want to see my kid hurt.
Yeah.
You know, and I also understood that it was an outward expression of your internal pain, and that I found upsetting as well, knowing there wasn't anything I could do to fix what you were going through. I mean, it's not, you know, I don't know what to say or do to make this better or easier. It's a tough process.
Now that you mention it, I think that's actually another reason that I've done it in the past, is a sort of like not really attention seeking, but just expressing my pain. Because mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. there have been times where, like, I do want people to notice. I do want people to care. And because I am hurting and it is real, and I want to make sure that people know that it's real, I guess. Mm-hmm. And it's not made up.
Right. Well, I'm glad that that behavior has decreased. On the topic of your heart situation, I know there were a lot of tests that you did uh-huh. here before the move, but there were other tests that they wanted to do. Have you been able to connect with a provider to continue with that test to see about going on with the facial feminization surgery?
Well, they did an echocardiogram, which was one of the main things they wanted to do, which showed up negative. It didn't show anything bad. Mm-hmm. They wanted to put a 24-hour heart rate monitor on me, but that never happened. I had to cancel because of moving.
Right.
And unfortunately now, I've just kind of had to start over with the process because I'm still with Kaiser, mm-hmm. but Kaiser California is separate from Kaiser in Oregon.
Oh.
Yeah, so I've had to reestablish in the system in Oregon, get everything transferred. Luckily, since they're both Kaiser, that's really easy to do, but I needed to find a new primary care doctor and team and everything, and she's having to refer me to other doctors like an endo and all that. And so I'm trying to get into the transgender care so mm-hmm. that I can hopefully go forward with surgeries and such.
Right. And I don't think I specified before, you were living with us in Dublin, California,
yeah.
which is the East Bay. And yeah. You have moved to Portland, Oregon. Uh-huh. Now, one of the things that happened with your surgery cancellation was a big financial complication, and it also complicated this move, right? Because you were planning on moving. I don't remember what your planned move date was. You want to talk a little bit about what happened with that?
Yeah, I can't remember what our exact move date was.
It was before June 1st.
Yeah, it was before June 1st.
And then it got bumped up.
And after my surgery was canceled, well, to be honest, I kind of decided in desperation, or just, maybe it wasn't a smart decision, but I didn't care. I decided I just want to move now. I just mm-hmm. want to go ahead and do it. So we moved up the move date.
Right. And part of that too, was Kana, I think while you were in the hospital, we were trying to figure out your heart situation. Kana's parents changed the date because you'd been asked to move because they're moving or something.
Our lease was up.
Uh-huh.
And, we both, myself and then my dad and his wife separately had to mm-hmm. find a new place to go. And because the place we were living at, like, my dad hated the landlord. He was a jerk. And they had a lot of spats about rent and stuff like that. My dad had a lot of hardships, and mm-hmm. I had decided I need a new start.
Right. And but didn't the date of that change as well? I mean, I thought you were supposed to.
Yes,
you were supposed to move out at one date, and then that they found out that it got moved up or
yeah.
something.
My dad had originally told me June 1st,
uh-huh.
and then he's like, "No, it's got to be sooner." And he's like, "You got like May And I said, well, you can't just drop that on me. It's like 3 weeks away or something. Yeah. It was ridiculous.
Right, right. So I know there was a lot of sudden urgency. And then also the you were trying to work out, what was it? You had unemployment for reasons, but then that changed because you didn't actually get the surgery, right?
Sort of.
Okay.
So I work at Starbucks.
Right.
And fortunately, through them, I'm able to get some paid time off for an elective surgery. Specifically because it's FFS, they have like really good healthcare options for transgender individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was able to get some paid time off, but I had to cancel that. And yeah.
It kind of messed up because I remember you were concerned about how your income would look when you were renting, and there was like,
yeah,
there was a lot of craziness there.
Yeah. I was trying to get all of that over with and out of the way where I could be basically watched over and taken care of with you, and where I had the money because I wasn't paying as much rent to you. So I was trying to get all that out of the way first before moving. But then when that was canceled, then...
And my boyfriend David agreed that, you know, you could have the month rent free so that you could get your surgery. So we had that set up too.
Yeah.
We thought we had it all figured out. And then the heart thing. And it was just... Yeah, that was,
kind
that
of
was really hard.
I blamed myself for it at first.
Right. Right. Yeah, that was rough. So how has your adjustment been now moving there? Well, first of all, how do you feel about Portland as far as how welcoming they are to folks in your community? How have you felt about the move and adjusting and all of that?
Well, In terms of like how people have treated me, like I've only really met my coworkers and stuff. All of them have been super nice.
Great.
Like, all of them. A couple even asked me like what my preferred pronouns are and stuff like that.
Nice.
I covered at a different Starbucks store once and actually met another trans woman. And a lot of my coworkers are some form of LGBT.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's really awesome. In terms of like the city, it's kind of scary compared to Dublin because that's a much nicer area and isn't very high and stuff like that. But this is a big city. There's homeless all over the place, and like it feels like everything has to be tied down or else it'll get taken.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I understand you get a rather dramatic experience where you thought your car was stolen. Do you want to tell us about that?
God. First day we got here, parked our cars. We had to go to the store to get some stuff. We wait for 2 hours, come back, and my car is gone. Got towed because I guess we had to put tags on our car. Just 2 hours we were gone, and that was enough time for my car to get towed. $150 gone.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
And right after the move too. Kana has been so sweet about messaging me. I want to thank you for that. I appreciate you keeping in touch and letting me know from time to time how Kara is doing too. And I had randomly messaged to see how you were getting on, and Kana said that you had freaked, you had a rough, how she put it, you had a rough day before or whatever, you'd finally calmed down. And then later I was like, what happened? And you explained the car situation. Mm-hmm. That is so frustrating. Like, why does the apartment place bother to take your license plate if they're not going to even check before towing your cars? That's $150 to them.
It seems like towing's a big business around here.
Yeah.
Because, like, just two streets over, there's, like, five towing companies.
Oh, wow.
You like can't tow, you can't park anywhere basically without risking getting towed.
Yeah, they tow your car and then after a certain amount of time they auction it off.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he was talking about how an auction is about to happen. And I went fix my car. Yeah.
That sucks. That really sucks.
We're starting to adjust. It's been pretty easy, I'd say. We still have to figure out all the stuff with our cars. We have to get them registered and everything. And because of COVID, everything is delayed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard to get appointments. But besides getting that stuff done, I think we're settled. We finally have our insurance figured out. Mm-hmm. I got Kana on my insurance mm-hmm. finally.
Oh, nice.
So now she has Kaiser.
Mm-hmm.
She's in the
oh,
system.
Oh, really? So they yeah. the Kaiser through Starbucks allows you to get partners on there as well, even if you aren't married?
Yes, actually.
Yep.
Wow.
Because we specifically, we meet the two requirements. We are on a lease together, which means we're in a domestic relationship. Well, mm-hmm. we're on a lease together. And we're sexual partners, and so we are in a domestic relationship, which means that, yes, we can have coverage, even though we're not married.
They don't make you prove that, do they?
No, but it specifically says on there. It specifically says that there.
That's funny. Oh, what I know. What was that weird Adam Sandler movie where they pretended he the firefighters... And they were pretending to be in a relationship because this part his best friend needed insurance. It was like something
the name
hilarious.
Escapes me.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Though,
I do
right?
know what you're talking about.
And they were trying to pretend to be dating, and it got really weird. well, I'm glad to hear that Starbucks has that.
Yeah.
And since we broached on the subject. And now we're going to get possibly a little more TMI for those who are listening and want to run away. Now is your chance. But I want to ask you a little more about your physical relationship with regards that I know a big part for you, Kara, that the gender dysphoria, mm-hmm. not feeling comfortable with the bits that you have. And I know that you had talked to me before about like your extreme discomfort about, you know, being you wear undergarments to conceal yourself and tuck things away. I know. And you feel more comfortable clothed. And you had mentioned, you know, especially feeling uncomfortable in the shower, like not wanting to see yourself or whatever. So how that you obviously have a physical and sexual relationship and right now your genitalia doesn't match your the gender that you feel. So how do you deal with that dysphoria in having those sexual encounters and not feeling dysphoric at that time? How does that work?
Well, I think for one thing, I feel a lot more comfortable with my body now, just because of Kana. Mm-hmm. And also, I just sort of have to deal with it, I guess.
You just got better at coping?
Yeah, got better with coping. I think a lot of it has... Because, like, how do I put it? Sex isn't just about, like, the pleasure of stuff. It's also about the intimacy, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm still able to get, like, that same level of intimacy and stuff like that, and so that's really enjoyable. It has made me like really question my long-term goals, because before I used to be certain that I wanted surgery mm-hmm. because I am dysphoric, but if I'm able to have a functioning and happy sexual relationship, then I really need to go through that surgery.
So you may be questioning whether you need to go with the full surgery.
Yeah, it is something that I'm questioning.
Uh-huh.
I haven't really made a decision yet. I know it's kind of it's complicated for me. Because I know at least one time in bed, like, I just broke down crying. Because things just didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like back and forth, where some days it's like good and some days not so much.
And Kana, how do you feel about that? Or do you want to discuss it? Are you a little... I've never asked you specifically if you're headed towards having that the bottom surgery as well, or if you are more comfortable the way things are. Do you where are you in that?
Well, first, I mean, you can ask me anything, really. Like, I don't mind.
Okay.
I had kind of come to an acceptance of where I'm at right now.
Okay.
I was previously sexually active, but nothing like a serious intimate relationship.
Were you sexually active as a woman or pre-transgender?
Like a trans woman.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, because some people have, you know, a sexually active life, and then they reach a realization that they are trans. But this was after you discovered that you're transgender.
This was after.
Okay.
Yeah. And, I don't know how to explain it. I would use, hookup apps and get with people. I'm not proud of it.
That's okay. Sometimes that's what we do when we're trying to find out who we are. So
yeah, it helped me to have more body acceptance. I am like still of the mind that I want to get the bottom surgery because that's more in line with how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
Plus how things function.
Mm-hmm.
It would be more, not more better, but it would be, that doesn't make sense.
So when you're being intimate, you feel like it would be more fulfilling if you had the body of a woman.
Correct. Very correct.
Okay. All right. But Kira, you're feeling like you might be okay with where you are at some point, and you're questioning whether you need to take it so far as to have your body fully surgically changed.
Yeah. I think at this point it feels like it's still something I would like, but I'm not sure if it's really worth going through or not.
Okay. So you're feeling, because before when we talked about it, you definitely, it felt like for you, it was, a necessity and a crisis. And at this point, now that you're in a healthy, loving relationship, you're not feeling that crisis anymore. Is that what I'm hearing?
Pretty much, yeah. I think also for me, I lucked out a little bit in terms of, like, with HRT, it can kind of go both ways. I'm trying to figure out how to word this, sorry.
Take your time.
On HRT, sometimes things become less functional, and so it can cause issues. For me, I haven't had any issues like that. Everything's still functional for me.
Okay, let's be a little more specific. So you mean erectile dysfunction?
Basically.
Yeah. So some people on hormone therapy, I mean, that makes sense. If it suppresses your testosterone enough, then you're not going to get an erection and be able to feel any sexual pleasure, I assume.
Yeah, and it can affect your ability to orgasm and stuff like that, which for me, it has affected a little bit. It's a lot more difficult, but it's still possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think HRT has affected Kana more than it has me.
Yeah, I'm on the other side of that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so. Well, that would definitely be in. But I understand, and I'm delving into stuff that It's certainly understanding and not experience. So if I'm wrong, correct me. But I understand that like prostate stimulation is another way to achieve orgasm in that situation. But is that also affected by the hormones?
I don't think hormones affects that at all. I've yet to achieve like a prostate orgasm, but definitely like prostate stimulation helps.
Yeah, I don't feel that way. It's great.
So okay. It goes both ways. Like it,
well, and it's different for everybody. It's different, you know, it's different for everybody. But exactly. I wanted to ask these more invasive questions, just because these are the kind of things that people sometimes wonder about in trans relationships and are afraid to ask, because who are you going to ask, right?
Yeah, because like most people don't want you to ask those questions. Like those are questions you don't ask people, and so if we're comfortable answering them, then
yeah, you know, so I'm asking those for people who have these curiosities, but yeah. This way they won't ask any questions of people who are like,
yeah, don't go off and ask anyone these questions.
You know, you don't ask intimate questions of heterosexual people either.
Yes, exactly.
Are you multi-orgasmic? Do you like it in the butt? No, you don't say that. It's not okay. But I think it's important for heterosexual people to understand that, you know, you have a full and functioning relationship and your intimacy is different.
Yeah.
And the way you
go at times to like make it work, but we do make it work.
Right. And I assume it requires a lot of communication.
Yeah. I mean, we communicate a lot. I've never really had any sexual relationship with anyone else. Definitely not a cis woman, so I don't really know how things would be different.
Well, I can tell you that in a lot of new relationships, in relationships I've had in the past and discussions with other people, there's a lot of fumbling and awkwardness and not a lot of specific questions as to what's working and not working. And a lot of cis men just assume that they're doing it right and you're enjoying it. And that's not always the case.
I feel like I ask questions a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
You do.
And that's important for, you know, cis people listening too. Like, ask your partner more questions.
Yeah, ask questions.
Ask questions and tell them how you're feeling. And if something's not working, like, be like, dude, cut your nails or whatever the problem happens to be. Yeah, I actually had a whole bit in my comedy thing about women who assume that they'll know the perfect man because he'll be able to find her clit and her G-spot and get perfect orgasm. And I point out that, when is the last time your guy was able to find a condiment in the refrigerator? Because they'll be like, are we out of mustard? No, it's in there.
The cupboard?
No, it's not. Yes, it is. No, yes, it's in the door, second shelf down, next to the mayonnaise. No, it's not. And you have to go in there or you have to get it for them because they can't find it. And yet you expect them to find the abstract clitoris. No, show them where it is. You know, all sexual relationships, show them where it works.
It's just easier that way.
It's just easier that way. It's better. You'll have more fulfilling intimacy if you communicate. So I'm glad that you two have worked that out. I find it really interesting that you've come to a different place on whether or not you might want surgery.
Yeah. I'm surprised too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's good. Whichever direction you decide to go, whatever you feel comfortable with, that's great. That's fine with me. It does, well, maybe not. I was going to say it might offer a different outcome if you choose to become parents at some point.
I don't think so.
It's
no.
Not on my mind right
so
now.
You think that the hormone therapy is suppressive enough that your sperm would not be viable?
I think it's been long enough that I'm sterile at this point.
Okay.
Because it's not something that, like, it doesn't suppress it. Over time, it makes you sterile.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I was unaware of that.
Yeah.
Could probably get it tested.
Yeah, but I'd have to go off hormones for, like, a long time.
Yeah, I don't want to do that again.
Not worth it. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Just to get it tested and probably not be viable. I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah. See, these are the interesting details that, you know, people don't really think about, or, you know, where all those hormones, how it all connects. Affects things. It's also interesting to me because in the Native American culture, we have an acceptance of a two-spirit person who is basically both genders.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's a cultural thing that is accepted I can't say all tribes because I don't know all tribes. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But it is certainly a part of the culture to not only accept a two-gender person, someone who has the qualities of both genders, physically or otherwise, but the two-spirit people were actually revered for being, I guess, more aware of both the masculine and the feminine sides of humanity.
Hmm. Okay.
So if that's the route you decide to go, it's very much acceptable within part of our heritage anyways.
That's good. Yeah.
So that's kind of cool. After the move is that shortly after you got there, you had a guest or a couple of guests come to
we
see
did. You. Yeah.
Yeah. And, so you have a few friends in the area. Do you want to tell us how all that's going? Because let me just preface this with Kira hasn't really had friends. I mean, that's not true. You've had friends, but since you've left school, you haven't done a lot of like in-person socializing. Everything's pretty much been online since you left your roommate situation in our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And like, never had guests come visit you here at our apartment, even though I kept encouraging you to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're in a new location and some of those online people are there. So tell us how that's going.
It's going good so far. I actually have a lot of friends who happen to live here and a couple who just moved here right after we did.
Oh, nice.
In total, there's, let's see, how many people do I know? Like six people.
Nice.
Six people total. And actually three of them are trans women.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So great. I've got a lot of trans friends, which is nice.
So you moved into a social circle.
Yes. I mean, I was already in the social circle. Now I'm there physically.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. And so who did you have over and what did you guys do?
Oh, I forgot another person. That I forgot a friend.
Oh no!
we had, well, I don't think she's ready to share her name just yet.
Oh, that's fine.
But
so use a first initial.
Friends. Huh?
Use a first initial.
A, I guess.
Okay.
We had her over first and we played some games and stuff. She actually helped us move in a little bit.
Oh, that's nice.
And then later on.
Didn't she also bring her brother over? Is that?
Yeah. Yeah. She did.
That was a separate occasion.
That was on a separate occasion though. Yeah. He's been over a couple of times now.
Oh, and that's nice.
We also met up with Leo here, and we had some Buffalo Wild Wings, and then hung out and played Smash and Mario Kart. I still want to meet up with Emma, who just moved here, and also want to meet up with Zelda and Lula and so many people. But
we met Emma.
We met Emma, yeah. We hung out outside my car, outside their apartment, just talking for a long time. But we haven't, like, hung out here or anything like that.
No.
I saw her apartment, though, when I went to drop off Leo's controller that they had forgotten here.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I got to see their place and meet Emma's rat, Ivy.
Oh, nice.
So it's been nice hanging out with friends and doing stuff.
I say we have to do it more.
Yeah, we do.
But I've been had time.
Yeah, I've been way too busy working.
Yeah, you've been working crazy hours too, haven't you?
Yeah. I picked up a whole bunch of shifts from a different Starbucks location. So I'm working like two and a half whole weeks without a day off and some double shifts.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm getting plenty of overtime, trying to catch up after the move.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're so busy now then with Starbucks that you haven't approached Joanne's again then, huh?
Actually, I got a call just yesterday, and I've been talking with the manager there, Emily, and I don't think I have the time to do it today, but on Thursday I might go over and speak to her. The only like downside is it's a 30-minute drive from here.
Oh, that's a drag.
Yeah.
Especially, just FYI, Kira has an electric car.
Yeah, I've got an all-electric vehicle, which actually, this is another thing. It doesn't want a fast charge anymore.
Oh, no!
So what I've been doing is just parking it right outside of our apartment, which is luckily right next to the road, and I'm able to run an extension cord out and hook it up that way.
Weird.
So that's how I've been charging my car.
Oh,
but
that's strange.
If I have to drive 30 minutes there and 30 minutes back, that's really going to run down my battery.
Right, right.
And I don't have the possibility of fast charging if I get in a tight spot.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You need to contact the dealership about that. That's some bullshit.
I do, but it's going to cost me like over $100 just to get it looked at. And who knows how much it's going to cost to get it fixed. So I'm just waiting.
Well, it sounds like to me that sounds like a battery issue. So yeah, when you get your money, get it checked out, because who knows, it might be covered under warranty like our last thing was. And then,
well, it's a brand new battery. They just replaced it.
Exactly. So it should absolutely be under warranty.
Okay.
You should have a problem. Yeah. And in fact, if that's the case, then they will probably refund you the service fee as well. So mm-hmm. Be aware. Okay, that's just mom advice. We're interrupting.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know, I think Canada doesn't want me to do it. I don't know how I feel just yet.
You mean taking a second job?
Yeah.
You're kind of running yourself ragged already, so.
I don't want to have to do a second job. Like, if I could just keep picking up this many shifts, like, that'd be fine. Just stay at the one job.
Well, it's a shame. It's a shame you can't get like a full time situation.
I can probably get up to 40 hours a week if I just pick up a shift like every week. Because they scheduled me for 37 hours. So I think they can guarantee me at least 37 hours a week.
Nice.
Yeah. And actually, something that I wanted to talk about a little bit that I think might be helpful if any transgender people are listening and don't really have a job right now. Like, if you're looking for a job, definitely consider Starbucks because of the health benefits. It does take you a year to get them, and you have to work at least 20 hours a week. But I think they're really worth it in the end.
But they're also a really inclusive employer as well.
Oh,
and they,
absolutely.
They pay a decent wage. And
yeah, definitely. Like Starbucks has their own like Pride Network thing, and they're doing this whole event during Pride Month right now, where they're having different talks and stuff about, you know, LGBTQ and all that.
So I remember you had a whole bunch of pins too that like they provided you with pronoun pins as well.
Yeah, they have pronoun pins. I lost my pronoun pin, but I can show you all the pins that I have on my apron right now. And one of them is their Starbucks Pride pin.
I have to get it.
Nice.
That's my
Pride
apron.
Very cool. And how is the work situation going for you, Kana?
Awful.
No.
I have two jobs. I work at Target from like 4 or 5 a.m. And then I work at a grocery outlet from like 2 in the afternoon or 4 in the afternoon till 9:30. So I hardly ever have free time, and the schedules don't line up too well.
Is it possible that either one of them will eventually give you more hours, or?
Yeah, I could probably get like full time at Target, but honestly, it stresses me out working there.
So it's not an ideal work environment then.
No, but they're really accommodating and nice once you talk to them.
Yeah. Mm.
And I know that one of your considerations was benefits through them eventually, but now you don't have to worry about that.
Oh, well, that's good. I mean, that is a huge relief if you have benefits, because that can be such a hassle trying to figure all that out, and medical is so expensive. Mm-hmm. Do you happen to have a Costco in the area?
We did, but they didn't accept me.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a shame.
That was the first job I considered.
Yeah.
Let's try again.
Yeah.
It'd probably be the same thing.
Yeah.
As Target.
Well, after you've worked for a little bit in the area and have more work history, then you might be able to branch out and apply at a place that's, you know, can give you more hours. Maybe you don't have to juggle so much.
Maybe. I don't plan on working in retail forever. It's not my ideal situation.
It's not fun.
No.
Not mine either.
I just kind of took what I could get from moving here because I couldn't transfer like you. Mm-hmm.
And that's what you got to do. You know, sometimes you're young and you're figuring it out. And, you know, I have an entire episode about the so many jobs that I am at. Last count, I think it was like 50 something. So you'll figure it out. What is it? What is your future dream job, Kana? What is it you would like to, if you could ideally do something, what is it you'd like to do?
Honestly, I don't know. I've considered massage therapy, but then I don't think my body could handle it. Like my wrists and stuff.
It's hard work.
Aren't great. Maybe like stream video games online. If I had an ideal, it'd probably be that.
Well, people do it and they make good money. So
yeah.
You know, keep trying it. You might get there. And Kira, what do you want to talk about? What your future goals are as far as work?
I think I probably want to be a gender therapist.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've always really enjoyed helping people. And I actually had a wonderful experience helping out my friend realize that she was trans.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been wonderful, you know, helping other people like that and helping them understand themselves.
I think you'd be really good at that.
Yeah, I think so too.
You've always been really empathetic, so,
mm-hmm.
and understanding. So those are important qualities in a therapist of any kind, but certainly in that particular branch of therapy, I think you have to have personal experience to properly help your clients.
Yeah.
Out there. And one last thing before I let you go, what if you could each take a turn, once you go first, Kara, speaking out to any transgender youth who might tune in. Do you have any advice?
I do, actually. What do I say?
I could go first.
You go first.
You want to go first? Go ahead.
Yeah, I could go first. Check your options. Usually, if you're fortunate to be in a more progressive state, like I was in Massachusetts, Planned Parenthood was basically free to me, and they covered everything from my transition, my medication, my blood work, everything. And they helped me right along. They have free resources. You can talk to them about anything. It's all private online. Like, as long as you can go there and give them your consent, you can get medication and help.
Oh, that's great. That's good to know. Yeah, that's important information, because I was unaware of that. I didn't know that Planned Parenthood offered transgender services. So that's really good to know.
That's how I started.
Yeah? You hadn't shared that part with me. I wasn't aware it was Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, it was Planned Parenthood before I got discovered through Starbucks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I wanted to say that, like, if you're like questioning or trans or whatever, just, you know, be really open with yourself and explore and just be accepting of yourself. You know, you're genuine, you're real, you're valid.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, how about do you have any advice for a young person trying to come out to their parents?
You just kind of have to get up the courage.
Yeah.
And just talk to them. Like, if you're going to cry, they're probably going to cry. And it's kind of a gamble in some situations. I know not everyone's parents are the same. But I'm sure you'll have some supportive family members somewhere that you can confide in and get help and support from.
I would say be prepared. I think that when you're coming out with something that big beforehand, you should basically write a script. You don't take the script with you, but write it out so that it's in your head. Mm-hmm. And also have resources available that you can share with your friend or your family member or something, so that they can go online and see, like, you know, what all this stuff means and how they can help you and stuff like that. The last thing you The last thing you want is a family member who isn't as accepting going online and finding the wrong resources.
Right.
And, you know, talking to friends who provide the wrong information. You want to give them the right information first.
Right. Because there's a lot of junk science out there that says some completely incorrect things about gender and the validity of transgender people. Well, thank you so much for being willing to come on to the podcast and be honest about your process and your relationship and all of that stuff. I'm glad to see your smiling faces. I miss you. And thanks for taking care of her, Kana.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
I'll still be bugging you multiple times a week to check in and see how everything's going.
That doesn't bother me.
And if you need mom advice, I'm here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Love you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And hopefully you'll help some people out there.
Thank you so much for listening. To help fund this content, please consider purchasing some of my original and unique artwork at esperanzapaints.com or send me a gift at buymeacoffee.com/ESP Phoenix. Please remember to subscribe to this podcast and to like and subscribe to the Esperanza Phoenix YouTube channel, where you can watch this podcast as well. You can also follow Unpacking Life's Crazy on Instagram and Facebook, or read further details about a particular episode at esperanzaphoenix.com. Last but not least, a special thanks to Chelsea Wild, who composed and created the theme music for this podcast. You can find more of her music at minorbirds.bandcamp.com. Thank you again for listening, and until next time, take care of yourself and the ones you love.